It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
I'm Mark Willard, and this is Inside Giant Moments, presented by T-Mobile, an official San Francisco Giants podcast. In Season 1, we looked back at some of the most iconic moments in franchise history. Now, it's time to focus on the present and future. We'll cover memorable wins and the off-field moments, interests, and personalities of the 2021 Giants team and staff. Join us for Season 2 of Inside Giant Moments, now. While the starting lineup for the Giants will have a number of familiar faces, some key roles will be filled by newcomers. Let's get to know a couple of them. Infielder Tommy La Stella and catcher Kurt Casale will both play prominent roles this year. We start with La Stella, who continues an eight-year big league career highlighted by a 2019 All-Star selection. Having signed a three-year deal with the Giants in February, La Stella is poised to be a major piece of the future puzzle. You're now entering your eighth season, but I wanted to start by asking, is it true that years ago in high school, you quit baseball for a minute because you were burned out?
Yeah, I did. It was junior summer, big recruiting summer, and it's kind of one of those moments where I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. A lot of traveling, and I stepped away, and I'm glad I did because it gave me some perspective, and I realized how fortunate I was to be able to do it. And stepping away, unfortunately, but it gave me that perspective to get back into it and have a better appreciation for it.
Yeah, during that time, how did you rediscover a love for the game?
I think firstly for me was, you know, so many of my friends in high school were involved with it, and we had played together and had a really good time. And I think the thought of missing out on that, at least for my senior year, was something that weighed on me. And I think that was probably the initial thing that was kind of got me going again, was the chance to play with them one more time for our senior season and try and win a championship. And, you know, kind of from there, just gradually rediscovering a little bit at a time why I liked the game, why I played, and the fact that I was good and I didn't want to squander that opportunity.
Throughout the remainder of your career, as you become a professional and then a big leaguer, have you ever sort of experienced that again? Have you had some ebbs and flows with regard to, you know, your energy for what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I think that's pretty common. It's a difficult game, and it's a long season. It's a grind, a lot of ups and downs. But I think, you know, over the years, being able to talk with family and friends and get into other things besides baseball, in between games and in between workouts and things like that, to kind of take my mind off it and be able to reset and refocus when it's time to pick it back up again the next day has been really helpful.
What would you say is your career highlight so far?
I would say probably the World Series with the Cubs in 2016. Being a part of that group was really special, and they did things the right way, and they set a great example for younger guys like me. So to be able to be around that and just be a part of it. It was something I'll never forget, and I learned a lot.
I have it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that in that postseason run, you came to the plate just one time, and I think it came against the Giants in that particular round. What was your experience through that whole run?
Not much. Yeah, I think that was it. Just the one time. I think it was in the NLDS. Yeah, not much. Mostly just a cheerleader sitting there watching the guys do their thing. But it was special. Like I said, that World Series in Cleveland, even just getting to be there and watching and what those guys did with how much pressure was on them and how much was on the line for the city of Chicago. It was incredible to watch.
You said that they do it the right way, set a good example for young players, which you were at that time. What did you take from the veterans that year?
A lot. I think mainly just the way they went about their business. I don't think anything can really prepare you for how difficult it is to be a major leaguer, firstly, but to go out there and do it every single night, like a lot of these guys did as everyday players. It's intense and it's a grind, and seeing the way they went about their work and the way they carried themselves and the way they prepared to be successful night in and night out was, it made an impact on me. And it was something that, I tried to take with me, when I left and went to LA.
Where's the ring now? Where do you keep that?
The ring is in a safe deposit box.
Okay. So you probably haven't seen it in a while, is that right?
I have not seen it in a while now.
Yeah. You're joining your fourth team in a matter of 3 years, but now you've got yourself a 3-year deal with the Giants. How does that stability sort of feel for you right now?
It's nice. I think going through this free agent process for the first time, I wanted to be a part of something for longer than just 1 to 2 years, and that was important for me to be able to be around familiar faces, develop relationships, and collaborate with people for more than just a year or two at a time, and to hopefully be a part of something special.
And what was the free agency experience like?
It was a challenge at times. I think, kind of with everything hanging in the balance like that and so much uncertainty. And I think obviously that process was compounded by the state of everything with the virus and what we went through as a sport last year. I think the fact that everybody was kind of in the same boat was, made it a little bit easier to endure. But yeah, it was, kind of waiting around and not knowing how it was going to play out was a little nerve-wracking, and I definitely have a new respect for the guys who have come before me, who have gone through this process multiple times. It can be difficult.
Did it meet your expectations, though? Like in the end, in the final analysis, did you sort of end up with what you expected to end up with?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, like I said, for me, we were really hoping for 3 years because, for a lot of reasons, but mainly just so that I could be a part of something for, like I said, more than just the 1 to 2. And, the fact that hopefully we'll be in San Francisco for the next 3 years is, I couldn't ask for anything more than that.
Farhan and the Giants were clearly enamored with your walk to strikeout ratio. Like they made no bones about that. When you're playing, and I don't think you can focus on an analytic when you're playing baseball, but the approach that leads to that stat, how much focus do you have on it when you're playing?
A little bit. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't aware of it. I think it's a stat for me that I've always kind of paid attention to, even going back to college. For me, it's kind of an indicator of what type of a bat I'm putting together. If I'm taking questionable pitches, I should be able to, have a higher walk rate. And also if I'm putting the bat on balls that are in the strike zone, I should have a lower strikeout rate. So I do pay attention to it. I certainly wouldn't say I obsess over it or anything like that, but I am aware of it. And like I said, it's kind of indicative for me of the type of quality of bat that I'm having.
I got to think if somebody walks that much, you've got a really good eye. And so you're a good person to ask what you think about one of the test rules that's going to be going on in the minor leagues this year with regard to an automatic strike zone. They're going to check this out at single A. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, I'm on board with trying anything out, honestly, if they think it's going to better the game. I think we're in a unique transition period in the sport where we're making some alterations to the way things have been for a long time. And if that's something that they think is going to help help the game and make it ultimately more consistent, I'm all for it. Obviously, I think there's questions that need to be answered as far as the consistency of the technology. And I don't know how close it is. From what I've heard, it's a little bit of a ways off as far as, like I said, how reliable the technology is. But I think it certainly can't hurt to give it a run, see how it goes, and then, make some adjustments from there.
All right, can we talk about August 17th of last year? And when I mention that date, do you immediately know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
You do not. Well, it was just a little walk-off home run against the Giants. No big deal.
Was that in August? Okay. Yeah.
Can we talk about that night? And has this come up since you signed with the team?
Yeah. A couple times. Yes, it has.
With who and what was said, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I was talking to Yaz about it because I didn't know this until I spoke with him. But, when I saw the replay of it, like the ball kind of came off the wall and then he, threw his head down to the side. I thought it was more just out of like disappointment. I guess I had heard after that it was a particularly difficult stretch of games for you guys. And then
yes.
He told me after the he told me after the fact that the ball had actually hit him in the face coming off the wall, which I didn't realize. So we had a good laugh about that. But, yeah, it has come up a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, he got some heat when he got back to the clubhouse because I think some of the people with the team were like, dude, you're kind of showing up your pitcher by showing that frustration. He's like, no, the ball hit me in the face.
Yeah.
So you were the poster guy for a very difficult stretch of games, and as you may or may not know, the Giants missed the playoffs by one game, Tommy.
Yeah, I did hear that. I'll take responsibility on that one.
You were saving it for this year. How about that?
Yeah, glad to be on the other side now.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's get to know you a little bit. How would you describe yourself?
I don't know. I like to read. I would say, particularly history, believe it or not, it's kind of something that I'll geek out on. And, I do enjoy going back and just kind of seeing the progression of things and how, different time periods transitioned into what came after and what came after that and kind of how we got to this point. So I do like to read, and I would say, other than that, big focus on Mario Kart N64. That's probably
okay.
The thing I do best in my life is Nintendo 64 Mario Kart. So me and my fiance, when we get a spare moment, we'll run a few, and we definitely enjoy that.
That's pretty retro of you, bud.
Yeah, I know. And I tried the new one on the Wii or whatever with the steering wheel. It wasn't the same. I gave it one run, and then I was like the grandpa. I was like, yeah, it's not like it was back in my day. That's pretty much it.
I'm glad you just mentioned your fiance. A couple years ago, I saw that social media prank the Cubs played with Anthony Rizzo acting like they were all looking for a life partner for you. Did you know that was coming at the time?
I didn't know, but I definitely had it coming to me. Looking back, I'm thinking like, wow, what was I thinking? But I definitely had it coming to me. I was kind of in like a little bit of like this parking thing with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer parking in their spots. And they took it easy on me. But yeah, I had no idea that was coming.
Okay, that didn't directly lead to you meeting your fiance, did it?
No.
Okay.
Thank God.
So what's your plan there? When did you propose and when are you getting married? Do you have a plan already?
We don't. We were planning on this off season, but with everything going on, obviously had to table that. We were looking at next off season, but we're probably not going to be doing anything significant anyway. It'll just be a few of us, so we can probably throw that together last minute. We're probably looking at, she's from Florida, so we'll probably look at somewhere down there to do it.
Sounds good. You admitted in that Cubs video, by the way, that you're a huge fan of Friends. Are you aware of what a big deal Friends is on this particular Giants team?
I'm not, other than Flores' walkout, which I love, which is a crowd pleaser too. So I don't know. Outside of that, is there something I don't know?
Well, no. Like, so yes, Wilmer is obsessed with it. Mauricio Dubon is it's his favorite show. It feels right. Like maybe you guys should just put it up on loop in the clubhouse or something.
I definitely wouldn't oppose to that. It is a classic show.
What's your walk-up song going to be?
I don't have one. I don't use a walk-up song.
Oh, really?
I haven't for a couple of years now. I just kind of go with I guess they've played like some ambient crowd noise as I've walked up there. But, yeah, no walk-up song.
Okay. Who have you clicked with on the team the most so far?
Man, everybody's been great. It's been fun getting to know everybody a little bit at a time. I'd say I definitely love picking Yaz's brain on the hitting side of things. I mean, he's somebody who stands out immediately as someone who knows what he's trying to do. He has a plan at the plate, and he executes it so well. He's so consistent. He doesn't deviate from it, not that I can tell anyway. And he trusts it. He grooms it. He works it over and over again, and then he just, you know, he trusts it when he gets in the game. And I think there's a lot that I can take from that. I think occasionally I'll have my plan, and then I'll step in there and I'll think, you know, well, okay, but I also want to be able to cover that. And, you know, you get in between. He's somebody that I see just being unrelentingly consistent with his approach, and he sticks to it. So I've really enjoyed getting to know him and talking hitting with him. And everybody else has been great. I mean, it's an easy group to get along with.
When you signed, you said the Giants were a unique group. What do you find so unique about it?
It's a unique blend of, you know, some older guys who have been around for a long time, very accomplished players, won multiple championships, some of them, and, you know, a younger group of players who are, you know, younger in their career but are blossoming into really, really good players. So it's a unique mix there, and you know, I probably fit somewhere in the middle between the two, and I'm looking forward to learning from both sides.
I know you also said that San Francisco was where you wanted to be. Why? What stood out there?
I've always really liked the city, and I've heard nothing but amazing things about the area surrounding the city, the Mirrorwoods, and I'm hoping to get an opportunity to kind of take it all in. I didn't really get, you know, coming in as a visiting player, you don't really get as much time and get a chance to see everything that it has to offer. But, you know, everybody said such wonderful things about it. So I'm really looking forward to getting to explore over the next few years.
Yeah. And did you get a good start in the Bay Area with your time at Oakland last year?
Not really. No, we were, you know, cause everything that was going on, we were pretty much just confined to the hotel. Yeah. So it was pretty much hotel, ballpark, and then back to the hotel. So hopefully this year, if, you know, things are a little more open, I'll get a chance to see some stuff.
And what do you think your role is going to be this year? Where do you think you're going to play the most?
I don't know. You know, I anticipate bouncing around between first, second, and third. And we got a very deep team. It's going to be a deep bench, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of times where we're working guys into the fold, and there's going to be off days, and however it lines up, I'm good for second or third. I've been working around the infield, so I'll be ready for whatever.
And then what about the lineup? We're getting the sense that you might be the leadoff hitter. Is that what it's looking like?
I don't know. I you know, I can kind of only go off of what it's looked like for these games. I'm sure, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I lined up there at certain times during the year, but I'm comfortable wherever in the lineup. You know, 2, 3, 4, all the way down to 9, however it lines up, it doesn't really matter to me, but I would anticipate, I'm sure, lining up in the leadoff spot occasionally.
Tommy, great to have you. That was a whole lot of fun. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
A quick pause here to thank our sponsor. Nobody connects baseball fans to Major League Baseball like T-Mobile, America's largest and fastest 5G network. Just for being a customer, you get a free MLB.TV subscription. That means you can watch every team's out-of-market games live or on demand right from your phone. But here's the catch. You have to redeem by April 5th. Visit T-Mobile.com/MLB right now to get your free MLB.TV subscription. That's T-Mobile.com/MLB. Qualifying customers can access the T-Mobile Tuesdays app to sign up for MLB.TV, see blackout details, awarded fastest 5G by Open Signal Awards based on average speeds in USA, 5G experience report January 2021, details at T-Mobile.com. And now back to Inside Giant Moments. Kurt Casale seemed destined to be a Giant even before he joined the team in January. He is one of Mike Yastrzemski's closest friends as the two attended Vanderbilt together. He also caught a number of current Giants pitchers in his previous stints with the Rays and Reds. Casale will not only serve as Buster Posey's backup, but provide a steady influence for many of the new faces on the Giants pitching staff.
Kurt, one of the new guys to the team, and seems like you're just fitting in like a glove on a number of different fronts, which we'll get to for sure. But first and foremost, thank you for doing it.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to shed some light into who I am, I guess.
Exactly, right? And we're excited to see that light, man. Give us the Bay Area background. Born in Walnut Creek, but I know you weren't here for very long. So how old were you when you left?
I think that's it. It's basically born in Walnut Creek, lived there for 2 years, and then to Atlanta for 5, then LA for 3, and then I claim Connecticut is where I grew up, because that's where I spent, you know, from 5th grade till I graduated high school. And then, went to college in Nashville, and I've been living in Nashville ever since 07. So been all over the place, but every scoreboard in the league presents me as a product from Walnut Creek, California. So I'll take it.
So what led to all the moving around?
My dad was he was in sales. He was working for like a bedding and mattress and pillow company that, instead of just like moving upward, he was, moving upward and having to move across the country, which is, at the time I didn't love, but, it's actually led me to have a lot of friends in different areas of the country. And looking back on it, I can think of a lot worse ways to grow up. So I'm kind of thankful for it in some ways.
You know, I know in high school, and as you mentioned, you claim Connecticut, that area of the country, and you were a football star too, a quarterback, and had a high level of success. I'm wondering, how does a Northeast area star quarterback not end up pursuing football?
I think early on, I identified that baseball was my path, and between talking to scouts and parents and coaches, we were able to figure out, okay, I might be able to make a career out of this, and or at least use it to get into a really good school and develop that way. But football was always really fun for me. I still think it's probably the most fun team sport you can play as a young kid, and I stick by that even though how dangerous it is. I understand that. But just the camaraderie of the sport was really fun. But I baseball was always it for me, and I didn't spend nearly enough time preparing for football season that I did for baseball, because summers were always about baseball. And it was really, really fun. I had actually a lot of success in high school, and got to play with some of my best friends. But early on, always baseball, but still nothing but love for football. I think it was the absolute time of my life.
I mean, you found the one wing of baseball maybe that sort of mimics the physicality of football, in that you're a catcher. Do you think that there's a connection there? Is that why you ended up at that position?
I think early on it was, I would think I was the only one that could catch well enough to, demand being put back there, I guess. I didn't want to be a catcher when I was, growing up. I don't think anybody, or not many kids, grow up and say, I want to be a catcher. Like, it's not the normal path. Like, you either want, I want to be a pitcher. I want to play shortstop or center field or, something cool, something, you don't have to put on gear and sweat and things like that. But, early on, I got put back there, realized I was pretty good at it, had a different understanding for the game, could see the whole field kind of like a quarterback-esque. And, it turned into a really, really fun life and career for me. But as you mentioned it, yes, it comes with its aches and pains for sure.
Two brothers growing up, right? What ages are they in comparison to you?
So I'm 32. I'm 6.5 years older than my middle brother, Andrew, and 9.5 years older than my youngest brother, Chase. Andrew played college baseball at Maryland, Baltimore County, and now he lives and works in New York City. And my youngest brother, Chase, actually went to Vanderbilt not to play baseball. He had some big-time back issues when he was a newborn. So he's easily the toughest member in our family. I think he's been through 7, 8, 9 back surgeries.
Oof.
And, but, I mean, you would never know it. He's the toughest guy I know. But he was a student manager for the baseball team at Vanderbilt. He just graduated last year, and now he's still living in Nashville while getting his master's in, I think, sports management from University of Florida. So he's doing great too, and I get to see him all the time in Nashville, which is really, really cool.
So you've got some years on them, but having brothers and all of them being athletes, how did that shape you as an athlete over time?
I don't know if it shaped me. I think having younger brothers taught me, you know, how to look out for somebody, how to, you know, maybe nurture or mentor somebody, if that makes sense. It's like it kind of gave me practice maybe into, you know, how to read situations, how to learn from my failures and help maybe the next guy in line maybe not make the same mistakes that I did. And it's true. I mean, I made way more mistakes when I was a kid than my two younger brothers did. I can tell you that firsthand. But nothing serious. But just like I always got yelled at because I was the first one to do it, and I was like, "Hey, Andrew Chase, don't do this, and you'll be fine." And it worked like a charm. It worked like a charm. They're still the favorites in my family, and that's fine with me. So, but in terms of, you know, how it translates into, you know, what I'm doing now, I'd probably need to have a think on that one to give you a better answer.
Well, I wonder if it helped you in taking care of a pitching staff. I mean, a catcher is definitely a coach on the field.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe being an older brother helped. But I also think that, you know, what I did in college at Vandy was probably the most helpful in terms of being able to maybe help better understand how pitchers think, how they react. And, you know, I owe a lot of that to my former college pitching coach, Derek Johnson, and my former Reds pitching coach, Derek Johnson.
Okay, random question. How many times have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
Ooh, if I had to guess, 20.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
I mean, there's a reason that's the number one movie, you know, on IMDb's top 100 or whatever. Like, it's just, if it's on, you sit and watch it. Like, you can't really flip the channel past Shawshank Redemption. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It's definitely
just, you keep it on. You just have to watch it.
Yep. It's one of the 5 or 6 movies that if you are scrolling around on a Friday or Saturday night, you're like, "Whoop, okay, we're good. We're good here for a couple hours."
Yeah, we're good. I'm good here. I'm going to, like, doesn't matter what else could be on. This is good enough for me. Like, it's probably better than what else is going to be around.
Yeah. So give me the quote. What's the favorite quote from Shawshank?
Ooh, man, that is a great question. You put me on the spot. I mean, I've definitely seen it. I mean, I want to do something in Morgan Freeman's just like relaxing, poetic narrative voice.
Right.
But I think I'd be doing it a justice. You know what I mean? I'd probably pick a line that's inappropriate for a public podcast. So I'm gonna defer.
Okay.
I'm gonna defer to the second half on this one.
We'll see if we can welcome in Frank Caliendo to do a Morgan Freeman impression or something for our pod and let him.
We need Frank in here.
Yeah, something Frank. Like that.
He could do a better job for me. I'm gonna stay in my lane.
Fair enough. You have my favorite 1-2 punch of minor league teams. I can't believe I'm talking to someone who played for the Montgomery Biscuits and the Durham Bulls.
And the Durham Bulls, yep. I feel very lucky.
Tell me you still have some of the gear. Come on.
I do. Yeah, I got hats and a couple shirts from each team. And you're actually very, very right. I feel like I've been very fortunate in terms of my minor league locations and fan bases, like, because those are two. I mean, the Biscuits, that's just a funny name. Like, it just,
right.
It may not be as famous, but just like, oh, you're playing Double A with the Rays. Like, what team do you play for? The Biscuit. and you kind of get like, you know, when the dog like looks at you with a side head, just like,
right.
What? Like, and so that's what people would say. And then my next thing would be like, oh, but I played for the Durham Bulls too. And they go, oh yeah, I know them. And
yeah.
That was probably, I mean, if you could draw up where you would want to, if you had to play minor league baseball, which, you know, everybody wants to be in the big leagues, but if you had to play minor league baseball, Durham would probably want to be the top spots. It's just, they sell out every night. They, the before the game rule videos is Annie, you know, talking, as her character from Bull Durham, and, you know, Kevin Costner's there. Like, Crash Davis's number is retired. LaLouche is retired. It's kind of like the movie. It's pretty sweet. I feel very lucky to have played there.
Yeah. What are your memories from that time? Like, what stands out when you think back to playing for them?
Two AAA national championship rings is what sticks out. I mean, it's unfortunately, but fortunately, I wasn't there at the end of the year to be able to celebrate with them, because I was, I got called up to the big leagues and changed teams and got traded to the Reds one year. But it was, you know, like 17, I think 17 and 18 when I was there. That was the first time in pro ball where I really felt like I had gained some tenure in the sport, and I felt like I could help lead and kind of be like a Crash Davis, if you will,
yeah.
For that team. And whether that actually had, you know, made an impact on it, I think it did. But just being able to help young kids and work and try and convince them that this is a great place to play AAA baseball, and if we're going to be here, we might as well win. And we did. And it was, you know, I have nothing but good memories to talk about in Durham, even though it was in the minor leagues, not where you want to be. Durham is an unbelievable place, and I'll have memories there forever.
I hadn't even thought of that. I forgot. Like, not only did you play there, you even played the position. You played Crash Davis's position.
Yeah.
I mean, was the movie realistic when you lived it? Like, it sounds like there was some crossover there.
There definitely was some crossover, just in terms of, like, you know, familiarity to movies. So I mentioned the video before the games. The stadium is different. So the old stadium that's in the movie is probably 5-minute drive away from the actual park where it is now.
Okay.
But they still have the bull in left field. If you hit the bull, you get a steak. If you hit the grass below it, you get a salad. No, I'm not kidding you. Like, it's literally like Wooly Bull is still the mascot. It's still like the same colors, same logo. It literally is the dream. It's like I love that movie. I think most baseball players love that movie. I don't think we can concoct a rain out like Kevin Costner did. You know, like, the buses are a little bit different. We don't have the star pitcher playing the guitar in the back of the bus, and, you know. But and we still call each other Meat a lot. That's a great line. Like, nice. Why do you keep calling me Meat? I'm the one driving Porsche.
did you ever hit the bull?
I never did. In BP, I did. But not during a game. But, no, there was quite a few guys that hit the bull. And in a home or away. If you hit the bull, you get a steak, and I thought it was pretty cool. They take really good care of their players in Durham. It was unbelievably fun.
How does that work, by the way? Because I figure, I mean, the players are getting meals anyway. Like, what happens? You hit the bull. Who shows up with the steak? What's happening here?
It's I can't remember what steakhouse it is, but you get a voucher.
Got it.
Paid. I think it's paid by the organization, so paid by the Bulls, and you know, you get. I think it might be seemed like $100 to like the steakhouse or something like that, and it's pretty cool. It's legit.
That well
really,
works.
It was really legit.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're not thumbing our nose at a free meal, especially when you're in minor leagues. But let's hear about the major league journey a little bit. When you think about your time in the bigs, as you've mentioned, there have been a number of different jerseys you've put on. What time really stands out in your mind so far?
In terms of standing out, I mean, Cincinnati, I feel like, is the place that I kind of realized and really believed that I was a Major League Baseball player. Like, when I was with Tampa, you know, I got called up and it was an amazing experience. Like, you know, getting to the big leagues, like that's a lifelong dream and you do it. And, like once you get there, it's not enough. Like what's next? And then what's next is staying and making a career and hopefully getting to the point where money isn't even a thing and you can just focus on winning and losing and just being a part of a team. But those are tough things to think about when I got called up when I was 25 and I'm still learning. Like I'm still, you know, doe-eyed in the big leagues because I'm, you know, playing with these guys that, you know, I look up to and, you know, grew up watching. It's just insane. Like I'm catching and Derek Jeter is hitting, like what? And so it took me a while to, you know, kind of get over the shock and awe of that and just really get comfortable with myself and believe that I'm a good enough player and not just always trying to play catch up and just, you know, ball out and just have fun and enjoy where I'm at. And I think that's where I got to with Cincinnati. And since, you know, since I started playing there, obviously my numbers, my trajectory has been trending upwards, and you know I'm looking forward to what the next step is with a great organization in the Giants, though.
And what brought you to the Giants?
I don't think we have enough time for that, but I'll give you some cliff notes, but man. The people, that's number one. So just like the people that I get to be around, like, you know, Kapler was a big selling point. I got a bunch of buddies, you know, Mike Yastrzemski, Evan Longoria. These are all guys that, you know, I've played with before and I consider my, you know, good friends. Donnie Ecker is the hitting coach. I played with him in Cincinnati in 2019 and, you know, me and him really vibed and there's no sugarcoating around it. Like, he is a great reason why the offense in San Francisco did a great job last year. Like he's a great hitting coach, and I wanted to be a part of that. But that was number one, and then number two probably would be getting to go to like a big league city. You know, playing in a big league city, a big market, and that beautiful ballpark. I mean, Oracle Park was probably the last. I think it was the last of my 30 parks to go to check off all of them. And it's kind of ironic. The last one I got to check off and play in is the one that, you know, I signed with the 2 years later. Just like it. But, it is the best baseball field, in my opinion. It's just beautiful. Yeah. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But like I said, I can go on and on about this one. But those are two big ones that go to San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a fascinating comment, too, because I'm thinking about your career. And it's not like these are small cities, but – you know, Detroit and Cincinnati and Tampa, you know, here you are established for a little while. And that's interesting that you're still feeling in some sort of a way that maybe there are some brighter light opportunities that you haven't had yet. Is that accurate?
It's accurate. I mean, I'm based on the numbers and based on when I've been playing against San Francisco in the past, I mean, they're sellouts. There's 40,000 people, 45,000 people in the stands, like, every night. Like, I'm not used to that. I'm used to, and this is no knock on Tampa or Cincinnati. They just don't fill it up like that. Like, it rains a lot in Cincinnati. It rains a lot in Tampa. Tampa's Tropicana Field, which is just a nightmare to begin with, so people don't really want to go see the game because of, you know, if you live in Tampa, you got to drive to St. Pete to see the game. That's a problem. But San Francisco, the weather's beautiful. It's, you know, it's cooler at night. It's on the bay. Like, you have a good team. What else would you want? Like, it's art. It's literally art in the form of a baseball field. It's awesome. I can't wait.
You know, it's almost as if this puzzle piece, you and the Giants, fit so well before it even happened. And you haven't even played a game yet, but everything you've just detailed, yeah. And you've shared this story so well since your signing. I mean, it just, I sort of put it, it feels like a good fit, even though there's no evidence yet because there haven't been any games yet. Are you sort of feeling that same way?
I can tell you, I feel really, really comfortable and happy within this organization. You know, changing teams is never, you know, it's never ideal. Like, I feel like, you know, everybody's dream is to play for the same team and just, you know, sail off into the sunset. But for the majority of us, it just doesn't happen that way. So, you know, picking up and moving and changing teams and meeting new people and you know, that adjustment period is hard sometimes. But this change from the Reds to the Giants, it just didn't even feel like a change. It felt like just kind of slid right in and was like, hey, let's go. I felt like I knew the entire team already, and it's been really, really fun so far. I'm enjoying it and can't wait to strap it up on opening day and help the team whenever I can.
So good. And what's it been like to be around Buster Posey this year?
He's been he's been amazing. Like, sorry to pause for a second there, because I'm just trying to, you know, really feel like wow, I haven't really reflected on it yet. Just how enjoyable it's been getting to know him and, you know, sharing ideas and learning and, you know, and laughing. You know, our lockers are very close to each other, and you know, we talk every day, and it's become a good partnership. Like, I'm make no mistake, I know he's the dude. You know, it's my job to pick up the slack wherever it is and whenever it needs to be picked up. But I feel like we're on the same wavelength in terms of, you know, process and you know, wanting to win and calling pitches and getting on the same page with the pitchers, and it's been really, really good. I think as long as he stays healthy, fans are in for a great resurgence from that guy.
Love that, and certainly interesting to hear you talking about getting to know the pitchers. You know, he'd been away for a while. You've been with another organization, and then so many of these pitchers are new to this organization as well, some of them because they're just young guys coming up. But that provides, I would think, an interesting challenge. What's that been like, and what are your impressions of the group as a whole?
Fortunately, I know a lot of them, which is also a nice transition period. You know, between Alex Wood, Anthony DeSclafani, Tyler Beede, Aaron Sanchez, Jake McGee, Matt Whistler. I mean, these are all guys, Wandy Peralta, these are all guys that I've caught before. So that's a great way of transitioning into a new organization, because that's a hard part, is learning new people and learning how they work and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, really, really excited to catch Webby in a game. I can't wait for that. I caught him a bullpen, and his changeup's ridiculous. You know, I got a couple more guys I haven't caught. I think I'm catching Maranta tonight, which will be good in the later half of the innings. But it's been fun. I think there's been some nice turnover in terms of you know, who they brought in from the pitching side, and, you know, between, you know, Bailey and the other coaches. I think we're going to have a decent recipe for success from a pitching side this year.
Yeah, you've had some interesting comments about Logan's changeup, and his spring numbers speak for themselves. What do you think we're looking at this year?
I mean, I don't want to put too much hype and too much pressure on the guy. I want him to, you know, keep doing what he's doing, and I want him to have confidence in that his pitches, or that his, you know, his changeup is an elite pitch. And you know, he's been showing that. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, all right, we can even tell you it's coming, and you're probably not going to hit it. If you do hit it, it's probably going to be weak contact. And it's kind of, you know, identifying a strength and sticking to it, and, you know, playing the advantage and the odds of that pitch. And Buster's been doing a great job catching him so far, and Logan's been awesome in terms of, you know, following his lead and executing him the way that we envision him pitching. So, you know, spring training is great, and, you know, we just want that to translate into the regular season as well. And if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to give us a great chance to win baseball games, sure.
What else, man? Who are you off the field? You're such an easy personality to talk to. Is that who you are? You're like a pretty social person. How would you describe yourself?
It depends. It depends on where I'm at. I'm a pretty introverted guy, actually. I think I'm able to pick my times to, you know, use the energy and talk and things like that. Like I play a game and then, you know, come back and recharge and I need my alone time for sure. But at the same time, I like talking to people. It's easier for me. Over the years, it used to be easy. And a lot of that was just kind of understanding that I like who I am. And I don't mind sharing it with people as long as they, you know, are receptive and they want to learn. But I'm kind of a quiet guy, but, you know, I pick my battles to when I really want to, show off, I guess you will.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Giant Moments, presented by T-Mobile. Don't forget to give us a rating and a review and share this episode with your friends and family. To make sure you never miss these exclusive conversations each week, subscribe and follow the Inside Giant Moments podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.